What we've been studying the last couple of days has probably not had any effect on anyone, because you know, you just go through your life, and it's nigh unto impossible without a constant preaching of the cross for us to see that the very use of our minds for problem solving or for answers or for dealing with anything is sorcery. And it's all in contraposition to this place of becoming as the small child. It's the opposite of abandonment of self. What?
A long time ago, and you often say, the Word of God is its own dynamic. And that meant a lot to me, because I used to take notes and try and capture the thoughts and think I'd read them later, which I did or didn't think about it. But if that's not true, I've got a real problem, because I believe that that's fundamental thing that's happening here, beyond our ability to comprehend and see. And when you just started, I thought, well, somehow this is a fork in the road here.
No, it's a big fork. Yeah. Remember the stories in the Talmud about. You're going down one road, and all of a sudden you hear there's a fork in the road, and on one is it looks to be straight and unencumbered, and the other there's a pile of thorns and brambles, and the automatic is to take that easy road. But God calls us to take the road that looks to be impossible. And the only way we can do that is to have an inkling that the road that looks easy is really destruction. Because no one would ever, you know, without that experience of knowing the emptiness of all of that other road, you'd automatically take it. But it's not not a one-time occurrence. That's an occurrence every single time that you are confronted with any kind of self-awareness, or the need to solve a problem, or the need to figure out something. Or it's a constant facing of, do I go down this road in which it seems to be an easy solution, that if I just do this and this is what I've always done, or do I face the other way and say, no, by faith alone I live?
Well, you know, it seems hard, but it's real familiar. You know, instead of giving it up right away, just dwelling on it is the easy road, even though you cause yourself a lot of trouble.
I don't understand what you just said.
If you have a problem, you're like, well, I'll think about this for a while. I'll dwell on it. I'll be upset by it. That's not easy, but it's real familiar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's
giving it up.
Right. It's that's easy should be rather. The word familiar is better. It's because that's the path of the neurons, that it's a well-worn path, and it looks like it's the way to go. But, and again, this is why the same is true with the communion. Remember, you can't eat the communion bread for our afkamen until you're fed up with everything else that you've been eating. Well, that's true in every area of our life. You can't understand baptism until you know, you're fed up with everything else. And you certainly can't understand taking the bread and the wine until you're fed up with everything. And so in the same now is true, you cannot know what true faith is until you're fed up with everything. And this is why this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Well, if I know, and abstain from, as you know, means fed up with, if I know from years and years of experience now, it's taken me that long to know that any path that I choose or that I have as a well-worn way of doing something, that only leads to aloneness and emptiness. And this thief cometh not but for to kill and rob and steal, destroy, etc., etc. This is the thief that's come. It's your mind. But until you know that, you're just going to keep playing in the pig pen. It's the dog returning to his own vomit. It's the sow returning that was claimed, returning to the mire. It's a constant. That's why truth is a sustained consciousness of error. It's totally having no confidence of owing nothing to what you perceive. That's a huge deal. There is nothing. I'm saying that it's easy, but it's easy only if you are weary and heavy laden. If you're not weary and heavy laden of this particular path, that's the path you're going to take every single time you're confronted with a stimulus. Do you see what I'm saying, all of you? Can you tell me one path that seems to be, you know, there are a thousand of them. Because, again, we work things out in very limited parameters, so there's all these things that look like it works. You know, and when Israel came into Canaan, they told them, well, you got to throw these seeds around and you got to pray, you got to put this little figure on your mantle, and that'll cause the crops to grow. Well, it looked like it caused the crops to grow. Because they didn't know anything. They don't, and you know more. The human race knows nothing about walking by faith. And so you've got so the human race always narrows the parameters so that you have the appearance of success in limited environments. And all religions have as their goal this. Various disciplines and exercises and things to suppress the urges, if you will, so that you can release some power and so that it's soul power. But it's all that power of the soul is forbidden. There's a scripture that you should read the whole of the first and second chapter of Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians, but in verse, I'll just second chapter 2, verse 4. And my preaching, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now remember, the word power there is efficacy, ability, tested true ability. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the ability of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or the fully tested. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes. Or princes just means some minor leader. I mean, in this context, Gary is a prince, or Joysanna is a princess, you know, because they have some position of leader. Albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now listen to this. This is the operative truth. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The idea is that you have to come to a place where anything but faith is crucifying the Lord of glory. And until you see that, you cannot walk in his wisdom, because there is no fear of God before your eyes. Is that so? All these things that we studied the last couple of days that we've, I hope, found out are the natural order of what your mind does. That's meaningless until you see that using those tools from your mind is like pounding the nails or pounding the thorn of flesh into the skull of Christ. It's making his sacrifice of none effect. What? You're doing it again.
Who is?
Gary.
Those are powerful words to make his life, to make his death of no value by what you just said, which is what we do, what I do. And if you understand what he went through, it's painful even to have that thought.
All religions, you know, whether it's Sufi Muslims or Kundalini yoga or whirling dervish or the various sects of the Kabbalah and the Orthodox, they all have healings, they all have gifts of the Spirit, they all have these, I mean, even just, not even the religion, just you can do it by methods of not even ascribing anything to God, just by discipline. And so today we have not just those things that were listed in Deuteronomy 18, we have thousands and thousands of other things that are taught, we are taught how to do. You know, they're now teaching in sports, you know, the sports psychologists, everything about what they do is the visualization, so that you can see. And so that then if you can see it, you can achieve it. And that, you know, and that's all true, but it has nothing to do with the wisdom of God. And yet now, in our society, what we take as common, ordinary, you know, just what I call psychobabble, is in reality those forbidden things. Staying in 1 Corinthians a minute. Chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now the word foolishness it's not strong enough. It's just totally idiotic, inane, dangerous, stupid, not worthy of. I mean, it's the most abhorrent thing. Because you're coming against self-realization. And yet every human being, that's what every person is wandering after the beast, because the beast comes at us in the name of self-realization. Self-esteem and all this other horse shit. So, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Period. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That means, and again, prudence is the right thing in this kingdom of darkness, in this age. You couldn't have survived without prudence. But in the kingdom of God, it's forbidden. There must be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds centered in Christ Jesus. Now, the problem is we forget this, or we've never known it, so you run around and you just conduct your life and da-da-da-da-da, and you have no understanding, no knowledge, because you've chosen this other path. You know, it's like when Jesus was hungry, he didn't think about wanting food. He just said, I want some food. And just instantly was... Again, Jesus walking down the street, you heard me say this many times. He's walking down the street and he's hungry. He didn't have any money, so he looks across the street and there's a bank. Well, if I go in there and get some money at the bank, then he didn't have his card or something, so he goes in and robs the bank. And then he takes the bank president's daughter hostage, and then he's raping the president, the bank president's daughter. Obviously he's not doing that, but that's what we make him do by us going down these paths. And then we get over here in this path while we've just robbed the bank and killed the guard and the president of the bank, and then we say, oh God, help me. Well, the point of it, the whole lesson of what discipleship is way back when you had a perceived need, it was instantly given to the Father, and then you wait, you rest. Do you understand how was that sufficiently graphic to understand this normal course of behavior? Well, what are the alternatives? What can I do instead of that? Well, you're careful for nothing. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is here. So how can you be careful for anything, and how can you trust anything you think you want?
I like to be careful for almost nothing. I just have like one or two things.
For almost nothing.
Just reporting.
For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching the cross to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But to them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. And again, it's Christ, the only power of God. And Christ, the only wisdom of God. For me to live is Christ. Period. It's not period. To die is gain. But that's not, that's why I make fun of the once saved, always saved. Because they put their foot in the water and they think they've reached the other side. Well, they have. But then they continue to conduct their lives as if start Christian yellow pages. I'm a Christian businessman. You may be calling yourself that, but you're taking the name of God in vain. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base or ignoble things of the world hath, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's why, again, remember the predicate for wisdom? Two things. One, that those things which are esteemed by men are an abomination unto God. And two, that if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. There's no, you can't escape these. What?
These are like big bullets to me. Because all my life I've sought wisdom, and I thought it was the right wisdom, but it was the wisdom of this world. But it felt good because it seemed like it was good.
Well, it felt good because same reason that Satan fell.
Yeah.
It's wanting to be like God.
Yeah.
And then the problem is that you always acted so, and not just you, so righteous and so innocent in doing it. And it just drove me up a tree, if you can remember, for 30 years.
My only weapon against you. Yeah, well, I didn't quite understand what your problem was. But I'm seeing it now. And I'm sorry. And then the idea of pleasing men, you know, like, why should I try and please you?
Of course.
Am I going to get something from you?
Nothing. I have nothing to give anybody. The only thing about me that's worth anything is faith.
Yeah. But I'm thankful that you didn't reciprocate, you know, that that wasn't in you to give me
kudos.
What I thought I wanted. In fact, you gave me the opposite. Now go thank your wife.
He's mumbling.
Yeah, well, thank you.
But it's like there's no repentance unless you leave yourself behind. Otherwise, you're just doing some little shtick for a minute. And there's no understanding of faith until you see that your mind is a mortal enemy of it. Then you look, it appears that we're in a conundrum. You're hopeless. Because everything about you believes that you need your mind to come to God. That you need to make decisions for Christ. That's why those words, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, which are nowhere in the Bible, or have you made a decision for Christ, which is nowhere in the Bible, nor even anything like it, have become the cliches of modern Christianity. Or you've heard me talk about one that just drives me up a tree is the four spiritual laws and a little drawing, and there's a great gulf between God and man, and then the cross lays over it so people can walk across on the cross. That's crap. It's not even... No, I can hear Harry. Then why were you happy when Bill Bright got a Templeton Prize?
No, it's Pat. It's unmitigated.
But it's fine because some people, then they acknowledge the presence of Christ, they believe in Him. Now, if they continue, that they will now live by the faith of Him. Two different worlds. And to live by the faith of Him, you must hear the cross.
Otherwise, you're going to try to memorize scriptures so you have the mind of Christ. You have to try to get converts to convince yourself that you believe what you believe is true. Because, again, it's human nature. I must believe, I must be right because all these people are following me. Well, you blithering idiot. That's like that guy on a radio show. He was praising God because he had 4,000 people in this church. And I said, so what? The Cowboys had 80,000. Yeah, you're praising God for the wrong thing. Oh, God is really blessing me. Well, we're going to get into more details, but I thought it important to see this in Corinthians so that you can understand that Paul and what Christ said and they're referring back to these activities of the mind that are just common to all men, are just a common ordinary flesh, and they're witchcraft, wizardry, enchantment, charming, necromancy, all of the things. That's all the mind can do.
You can't read that list and say, okay, I'm going to stop doing each one of these things, so I'll be pleasing to God. That alone is one of those things.
Well, again, remember, you cannot be pleasing to God, so just accept it and forget it. You can only die that he might live. What I get, what just drives me crazy, is the scriptures, there's all nations, there's a drop in the bucket. There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond or free, nor male or female. But God has called America to XYZ, or we are called to take over the government. Or take over the institutions. So that they're all just synagogue Jews waiting for Messiah. There's no difference between Christianity or what we see in synagogue Judaism. It's the same thing. Anyhow, anybody have any response? Any expansions on the tail?
It makes me just feel like laughing. This thing here where it's talking about, I mean, the idea of using the phrase, the foolishness of God, I mean, that's funny. And the weakness of God, the idea that that which is highly esteemed among men is about, I mean, it's like this incredible joke. And on one side of the joke are the fools called human beings, and on the other side of the joke is God. And it's just...
Well, I mean, but you, in order to...
Unbelievable.
We all have to see that it's us he's talking to, that it's our supposed wisdom that's nothing. It's not those guys.
You're wise, but we're foolish. I mean, that's funny. Talk about sarcasm.
Please, don't neglect so great a salvation by returning to your own arm of understanding for anything. Can we be exempted for laying hands on Tom again?
Exempted? What does that mean?
That we don't have to do it again.
We already did it, which means he's not really here.
Tom isn't here.
He's not here.
He's not here. Tom is already in Kosovo.
This one didn't wear off, so I'm okay.
Well, my friend, have a safe trip.
Right.
He's going to leave here in about 20 minutes.
Flight will be canceled again. I'll see
you all this evening. You gave me a heart attack when I walked through the door. When you were walking through the door,
he already lost the job.
That's a record even for Tom.
Take it, big guy.